Not a game. We talking about practice.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Buckle up for Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center.
Not the game. We talking about practice, man.
That's a stretch three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020. Oh, what a shot from Curry. Diggs, sideline, touchdown.
The return to glory.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. If you ain't first, you're last.
And there you have it, folks. If you ain't first, you're last. I'm your host, Ryan Seeker, and this is another episode of the Takeover Sports Podcast. It's another great day here in the Treasure Valley, and we also have a very special guest. But before we introduce the man himself, I got to give a shout out to my man that's making it happen behind the cameras, Sean DeVille, hockey guy.
Yes, sir.
It's your time right of the here. Year, baby.
Dude, this is... stressful. It's not even stressful. My team's not even in the playoffs. We're bottom of the league, as you know, Ryan. But
Sharks.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're suck. But I have a fun time. I like to pick a team and bandwagon the hell out of them the entire playoffs.
So who's your team now?
Florida Panthers. The last 2 years, and they play tomorrow night. But I have decided to hop on the bandwagon.
Okay. Man, best of luck on that bandwagon.
Thank you.
And so... This episode's not about us, Sean. That's the thing. You know, we could yap about sports all we want. Yeah. But for the people that read the title of this video, they're here to see Marco Notarainni. Marco!
Let's go.
Linebacker, Boise State. How we doing, my man?
Feeling fantastic.
Good, good. Welcome, Mr. San Diego, California, Torrey Pines High School.
Go Pods.
Go Pods. Stand up. Okay, stay classy as well. So... we're going to go all the way back, high school. So I read two-way player, obviously linebacker, right? You know, that stuck with you. But also tight end. I mean, how did that start? Was that like your first position? Kind of walk me through that.
Yeah, so in high school, we ran the wing T. So basically like the Air Force of high school.
Okay.
Triple option type ball. And I've played a lot of positions throughout that offense. The one that I liked the most was in my senior year, fullback, because it wasn't really fullback, but kind of one of the main running backs. But I have played like tight end, wing, running back, a little bit of wide receiver, like slot kind of thing. Yeah, Torrey Pines, we just public school. A lot of guys had to play two ways if we wanted to win, so... it's kind of how it went.
Okay. And so was coach from like Air Force, like what, how did this offense start? Has it just always kind of been like that at Torrey Pines or?
Yeah, that's like a historical offense that we've run ever since probably before I was born at Torrey Pines for whatever reason. There is a reason. I wanted like a legendary coach at Torrey Pines kind of put us on the map, started running that wing T, I think.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. And then, yeah, I think they just kind of stuck to tradition over there. But I didn't hate it because got me ready for, like, run against other teams. And then I also got to deliver the blows on the other side of the ball.
Right. Okay. So then junior and senior year coming around, did a coach tell you, hey, like, you belong on defense? Or did you feel like, you know, yourself, you're like, I feel like I'm a linebacker. How'd that work?
Virtually, like, every sport I've played – if I played at a high level, I was always the defensive guy. Offense was like fun and I was decent at it, but like defense was always my thing for whatever reason. Like basketball, I considered myself a lockdown guy. And then just like lacrosse, I played lacrosse at a really high level in club in high school. And when I got to that high level, like my chances of getting on the field solely relied on defense. And then obviously football has made a career out of it, but I don't know why, but it's just like that's just been my thing. I've just had a knack for it.
So you were recruited as a linebacker. It looks like you also got an offer from New Mexico and Boise State, and I think there was another school. Do you remember what it was? I can't remember off the top of my head. It's like some purple logo.
I've had a decent amount. I had all the Ivies.
Columbia.
Okay. Yeah, so there you go,
yeah,
Columbia.
You have always been a smarty pants. Yeah.
Yeah, I had Columbia. I had a couple, like, Pac-12 schools at the time. I kind of just narrowed it down to BSU, SDSU, and Princeton. San Diego State, loved everything about them, but I want to experience something else.
It's home.
Yeah, yeah. That's home for me. So I would hate it if I've spent most of my life in San Diego. And then Princeton just, for me, wasn't the college football that I grew up watching. And my dad told me that, like, my education was always what I made of it. So I came here, and I know through my visit, well, didn't really have a visit, but through my conversations with the coaches and doing research, like, this place has been historically known to just be national contenders and just, like, be historic in their games and in the blue and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff.
So offer. So this is middle of COVID, it looks like, when you're being recruited. Did you ever visit, or was this all virtual, Zoom?
It was all so, like, messed up. I did an unofficial with UW. I want to say maybe sophomore year or, like, early junior year. I can't remember.
Okay.
Doesn't really matter too much. But, yeah, COVID hit. We definitely got screwed within that class. And I have yet to go on an official visit. I came out here with my dad to kind of just get a feel for the place and, like, walk around campus. And it was just a ghost town because it was during COVID. But when we did, like, interact with people in restaurants or, like, walking downtown, you could definitely feel something different about this place, the way, like, we got treated, the way people approached us, which is a hell of a lot different than they do in California.
Yeah.
Obviously, because the place has got some issues, but
different story.
Yeah,
right?
Different story.
So you commit to Boise State. I want to talk a little bit about academics, though. Business admin major. I mean, what's, like, what made you want to pursue that? Do you want to own a company one day, or, like?
Yeah, definitely. I've been bouncing around a couple times between what I wanted to do exactly. I think business admin gave me a broader sense of business, so I can, like, take a couple courses in each, like, different curriculum, but I didn't want to narrow it down too much. I focused a lot on, like, project management and entrepreneurship. And then, yeah, I do want to own my, like, my own business one day. Me and my brother have actually already started a company that we're hoping to launch out come this summer. But
let's go.
Yeah, we're really excited. And that's been, like, multiple years in the making, but I think something about being your own boss, creating, like, your own culture, and kind of just having control of who you get to be around, I think is really cool and special. Kind of just similar to, like, what I have here at Boise State football. I don't think you can replicate that anywhere else. And just being able to do that once football is over, yeah, I think I would really love to be in an environment similar to that.
Yeah. Do you want to shout out the business a little bit? I kind of want to talk about that. I mean, what kind of business do you want to run? Is it pre-stages, or what does it look like right now?
Yeah, we've been in the development stages, and we had it tested out on a couple of guys on the team. We developed, like, a mobile application, and the main focus is that it automates taxes for guys involved with NIL deals.
Whoa.
Yeah, so there are a couple other things with that, but we're getting really close to launching it, and we're really excited about it. I don't feel like I should get into more detail, but I just know that if I can build that out, I can help out a lot of student athletes. And then
absolutely,
when my career is over, I can stay around sports and kind of just see where it takes me. But it's been a lot of fun to get some actual real world experience, because I feel like I've learned a lot doing that compared to, like, probably 95% of my classes.
Do you have a name for it yet?
It's called Wealth Intel.
Okay. Solid. Yeah. I was thinking, like, NIL Triani or something like that. I don't know.
That's not bad.
Hey.
Might have to change it.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah.
So, with academics as well, you graduate in May, and I read something. I got to give you a shout out for this, because it's super impressive. I know we already talked about it before the cameras were rolling, but You are a top 10 scholar in your class at Boise State University, and that's out of the entire school, or I guess your class. And so, I mean, is that just like out of anything that you've, like out of any feeling you've had, even outside of wearing pads, is that just like a phenomenal feeling? Is this like a goal of yours that you had? Like, kind of talk to me about that. That's impressive stuff.
Thank you. No, I didn't really know it was a thing. For whatever reason, like I've put a really heavy emphasis on academics like my whole life. I wouldn't say it's something like I tried to strive for, but when it came across my table that I was acknowledged and I could start applying for it, that in and of itself was awesome for me, just to know that a lot of my efforts with school, in a sense, have paid off a bit. Like all the stress that I kind of put myself through to get assignments done and kind of just achieve perfection, which is carries with me a lot, yeah, in a lot of things that I do. But
yeah,
that was a very like relieving feeling, being able to just earn that award.
Yeah, I bet now it's a lot better that you're going to be all done with academics, because I'm sure trying to balance all that with football, getting tests done, quizzes, Blackboard responses, I don't miss that at all. And then now you got 2 more years of eligibility and you don't have to worry about classes. I bet that's pretty nice, right? Are you going to have a bunch of free time now? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just all depends on what you want to do individually. Like, I know for myself, and the talks I've had with Coach D, really want to make a run at the NFL this year. And so with that kind of just steered me on a different path of, instead of working the next 2 years to get my MBA, kind of just really dig deep with football, focus on the business, and apply to like programs specific for my business, and then go from there. Obviously there's a whole eligibility piece that goes with taking classes and making sure that you're like in compliance with the NCAA, but that's definitely not my job to figure out. It's definitely up to the advisors. So I already signed up for classes and I have the right amount of credits to like play next semester. And it is cool kind of being in control of the actual classes that I'm interested in and not what I need to do to graduate. So the shift in that perspective has been super nice. And yeah, I'll definitely free up a good amount of free time too.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's exciting stuff. I guess back to the football part of things. So pivot. So you get to campus 2021, red shirt. Is in that entire process, did it kind of just like feel different than high school football? Like were things faster? Was it just kind of like a whole processing moment for your whole red shirt year? Were you get just kind of a student on top of a student in the game as well?
Yeah, I think you're always a student of the game and you can never really be where you actually need to be in terms of like your football knowledge. Every year that I've been here has been like a level up in my football understanding, and it needs to be that way if I want to go where I want to go. But yeah, from high school to college was a pretty ridiculous jump when it comes to like football knowledge and then the speed of the game. I always consider myself like a very physical football player, so I didn't have any problems handling that when I came in. I think definitely the football IQ side of things and the speed and athleticism of everybody else was something I had to catch up in. But yeah, speaking of freshman year, like, there's always like a process to go about it, unless you're like a freak like Ashton is.
Yeah.
Like, you're not really going to step on the field because like you need a lot of development. So yeah, big scout team guy freshman year, and like really dug into that and kind of just like competed with a lot of my like good buddies that I call now for kind of like a scout team player of the week or scout special teams player of the week, just kind of finding my ways to make an impact.
Were you ever picking like anyone's brain? I mean, was Wimpy there when you were there? Was he kind of someone you looked up to and were just kind of asking questions?
I think it's always hard freshman year to like reach out to guys. I think my sophomore year, I started to do that more with like DJ Schramm.
Gotcha.
He was definitely like a guy that had a lot of influence on me in terms of how to prep, the process to follow, and kind of just like the type of leader that I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped a ton, but it's like pretty much all on you to go and like reach out to some of these older guys, because obviously there's a lot going on. If somebody's going to reach out to you, like, you better show some sort of interest or like commitment to what they're trying to do for you.
Mm-hmm. So 2022, played a couple games. Then unfortunately it looks like you suffered the ACL injury. And which game was it?
New Mexico.
And so I want you, Marco, walk me through that entire process from as soon as you kind of felt that pop, then through the rehab and then full recovery. What was that like?
Yeah, it was like really scary. I know like you talk about the ACL just being like the end of somebody's career. More times than not nowadays, that's not as much of the case, but it was really scary going through that process and kind of starting to think about really if football is for me. You're around guys that are like constantly injured throughout the recovery process. Like I think we had maybe 4 or 5 ACLs that year, which is absurd. But like a lot of people handle it differently. Mm-hmm. I would definitely credit like a lot of my success in coming back to the trainers and the psychologists that I talk to. I've always like been a believer that like you do all the right things and you work hard, like things will work out, which I still am, but it kind of messed with my like philosophy and my way of going about things. But yeah, that whole process was just like really scary. And most of it is like a mental battle on how consistent you can be. Cause a lot of times like guys in your class are succeeding by that time.
Mm-hmm.
You're falling behind and you're in the shadows of a lot of people. And that was really, really difficult for me to deal with. So there's so much that I've like learned from that process though. I come to like rely on God a lot more and really dig into my faith and my family as well. Having those support systems was really beneficial for me. And then, yeah, just not really giving up on myself. I've like come to learn to just like be in the moment and like nothing's really ever guaranteed. Just like enjoying where you're at right now, because it can all change in a minute. So yeah, every injury that I've had has always been like difficult for me to deal with, because I'm sure you've already heard about like the time commitment is like ridiculous. 5 a.m. wake ups to probably like done with work, like in total of like film and homework and classes by like 7 or 8 p.m. And so you throw an injury in there and it's like everything you've done up to that point has been a waste because you took steps back and now you got to like try and figure out a way to come back.
Yeah.
So just like the mental piece of it, I think, is more like troubling and harder to deal with than it is the physical. Cause we know how to work out and like, mm-hmm. we know how to like really work hard and be consistent, but showing up to a facility where people forget about you and you feel like you're not a part of the team anymore is really difficult to deal with.
Brutal, man. Yeah. It's mental. You nailed it. I've never suffered an injury like that. But, you know, I've heard stories from like Latrell with his Achilles.
Yeah.
Maddox, he suffered that as well. And I just couldn't imagine. Because how long did it take for a full recovery?
Man, I think it was in September and I got back in May. But I think I was like 1 or 2 months ahead of schedule.
Okay.
Did
time just slow down for you?
Yeah, it definitely does feel like you're just stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to see a lot of progress. That's definitely another tough thing. But I think every injury that I've been through, and I'm sure like other guys can attest to this, you learn so much about yourself. And yeah, you just come out of it a way better person from the other side, a way better teammate, way better like friend from the other side, because you just like know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, again, that's if you really want it to be better, if you wanted to go and feed the other side of it and really focus on how shitty your life is. Sorry, I can't cuss.
You're good.
Cut that one out, Sean. But if you wanted to like really focus on that, then yeah, you would actually be stuck and you wouldn't ever be better. I think a lot of guys have the same recurring injuries because of that. But a lot of that, like a lot of things like out of your control was something that like is hard for us, I think for me specifically to deal with, but definitely a lot of other guys, that's usually what happens with injuries. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I've learned so much from it, and it's played a huge part in my development as like a player and a person on the team.
And I've heard some athletes say this, that obviously no one wants to get injured, but a lot of people are thankful that they were able to go through that process. Do you ever kind of reflect and be like, I'm glad I was able to experience that?
Yeah, 100%.
Gotcha.
It's really like opened up my eyes on like who I can really rely on, who my support structures are. Mm. It like helped me find my faith more. It helped me find myself more. And I think, like I said earlier, it's just like, it is what you make of it. So if you wanted it to be good and you like grow and develop from it, you will. But if you're too focused on all the negatives and things out of your control, then it's just going to go to downhill quick.
Gotcha. So part of your development, you know, Marco is used a linebacker. Are there any NFL or other collegiate linebackers that you've kind of looked up to and modeled your game after? Yeah.
Honestly, no.
Wow.
That's probably like a beast. First. Well, that's probably a first for you to hear that, but
it is.
Yeah. I don't like guys always say
like a Luke Kuechly, Bobby Wagner, Fred Warner.
I would say like my game is probably more similar to Luke Kuechly just in terms of like his football knowledge. I wouldn't say like I'm the best athlete in the world. Definitely not the best athlete on the team, but I think I make up for it like being one step ahead. And I can like make up ground in like the athletic side of things. But I wouldn't say I go and watch film of some of these other players. Never really did it in high school or leading up to it. And I think now it might be useful just in terms of areas of football that I'm not like very good at. Mm-hmm. But when it came to like understanding the game and playing football, I just wanted to critique myself more than watch people play.
Right. And I think I would agree with that, with you saying Luke Kuechly, because he was more of a cerebral player, right? He wasn't the fastest, but technique-wise, and he was just so smart that he kind of just knew what was happening. I mean, I'm just kind of curious, too. He would call out plays before they happen. Have you ever done that before? Like, have you known exactly what play is coming before they run it at all in your career?
Yeah, 100%.
Look at you.
But I mean, there are guys that can do that. Like, there are plenty of guys that can do that. Not on the level of Luke Kuechly.
Right.
Because
NFL's insanely crazy.
He was on another level with that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think even in spring ball offense, our offense would come out and just like have specific run plays that they would run, specific pass plays that they would run for that day. Mm-hmm. And like by the middle of practice, I would just be like calling out specific plays that they're doing. I know Mad Dog was getting pissed off at it because he thinks I was looking at the script. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I can really pick up on things really quick. And a lot of it has to do with like the prep beforehand.
Film?
Yeah, film. But I mean, even with that, the coaches give us so many tells too. So I wouldn't say I'm on the level of probably Luke Kuechly being able to do it by himself, but
right.
There are some things I can pick up on film where I'm like, all right, this is what's coming. But a lot of the times I would say like coaches bring something up and then, I don't know, it kind of just sticks with me.
So 2023, whirlwind of a season, right? For a lot of things. Well, one, you get back on the field. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a W. But then head coach fired. Even before that, a last-second Hail Mary loss, Colorado State.
Yeah.
Head coach fired, coming off a dominating win at home, and then less than 2% chance to make the conference championship, and you guys go and win. And then obviously Spencer Danielson, interim, ended up getting hired. So I'm just curious, that year as a whole, what did that year teach you as a player and then also as a person?
And I've had like these kind of conversations with my dad for sure. And he's just like, one thing he hit with me on is just like, it's crazy how much like leadership can affect an environment and the way guys play and the way people perform. With that change in leadership, I think it was just a clear like toxic environment for the players and the staff. And I think a lot of guys played like really tight, and then we weren't, I think our bodies weren't being taken care of either, because like practices by whatever week that was, week 10 or 8 or 9, I don't even know, we're like damn near the same as fall camp or worse.
Oh my.
So like that's just not sustainable, probably why I got a stress fracture in my foot. But yeah, it's just leadership is so important. You can see like how, obviously, that switch when D took over, and I don't know, like guys actually like wanted to walk in the building or like smiling again. Like before that, it was just like heads down, try not to mess up. I don't know, not really an environment that's like sustainable. And yeah, we come back and hit a less than 2% chance to go to the championship, which is insane. And obviously, we've taken it to a whole nother level this last season. So it has been like kind of crazy how much we switched things around compared to maybe my first 2 years here, where everything was just like, I don't know, not a lot of success, kind of toxic environment. And then now everybody just like so many smiling faces, guys are like, I mean, we've always loved each other. It's always been a brotherhood, not going down that route, but.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's just like it's different when you actually have somebody that you want to like perform for and a community that you want to stick around with.
Absolutely. And I feel like even just the eye test, as someone that just watches, I'm not in the building, you know, I don't know what you guys do, but I think it was the Utah State game is when Spence's first game as head coach. I mean, night and day difference just by the like the way you guys were walking.
Mm-hmm.
Like walking with a purpose, playing with a purpose, high energy. Everyone was fully energized. It was just noticeable. So we love that. It's been great.
Yeah.
It's been absolutely great.
Well, we've been loving every second of it
too. Yeah, I bet. And so it's still a lot of chaos going on in college football too. And I know you're obviously aware, you know, one of your teammates, I almost said colleagues. I'm like,
in colleagues, yeah.
Yeah, but Simpson hit the portal. Wish him obviously the best of luck, but you guys have always had a next man up mentality. Does that change your role at all going into next year, or how does that look?
No, it really doesn't change my role much. I think just in terms of like a leadership perspective, like you need to be like, we as a team like met together pretty much on all the guys that hit the portal. And I mean, Drew's one of the guys I came in with. Same with Braxton. I was like one of Braxton's groomsmen at his wedding. Ferguson, I came in with, and I was like good buddies with him too.
That's right.
But it's just sad. Like, we do care about each other a lot. So it kind of just puts a cloud over the whole next day or that whole day. Because mm-hmm. every time it's been in the morning, like right before practice for whatever reason. And you can just tell there's just like a different feel to practice that day. It's because people care, and
yeah,
we just lost one of our brothers. But yeah, it's a lot of guys definitely stepping up to into new roles and kind of fill that void, because Drew was a hell of a player and so were all the guys that left.
Absolutely.
But from a development perspective, from a leadership perspective, it's always been like all we got is all we need. And that's not like a knock to anybody, but I know and I have faith that the coaches will develop who they need to develop, and as a team we'll get closer because of it, like we did in years past. It's just like the way college like sports is going.
Yeah.
It's just ugly, dude.
It's almost like minor league.
Yeah, but even worse, because at least in the minor league, they signed some sort of contract and they're staying there for however True. Many years. Like, guys, and I've talked to Coach D about it already, like, who the hell am I playing with in the fall? And it sucks more for these coaches, not our coaches, because they don't beg players to stay. They're like, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. Like, mm-hmm. you're not a good fit here then. But, yeah, it's just like a lot of teams across the country is just purely transactional. It's nothing about relationships. And I never want to be a part of football when it's like that.
Right.
Like, the biggest thing for me about football was the boys. And, like, we're brotherhood. And, like, these are guys I go to war with. But it's just going to be a bunch of guys that just, like, transfer in and are, like, all in it for themselves and just want money. Like, that just sounds horrible for me to be around. And I'm sure I would not have as much fun playing football.
Yeah. It's like, well, what's the point of us building a friendship, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We're coworkers at that point.
Yeah.
It seems like. And there's even schools, you know, that Tennessee quarterback too. He's like, $4 million or I don't want to play here. And honestly, good on the coaches for being like, no, dude.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to play Tennessee football? I'm all for getting your bag, right? I'm all for, you know, making your money. You're getting the free housing. You're getting all this. And it's like, I don't know. It's just kind of, it's the Wild West right now, right?
Yeah, I think it's just like so out of hand. I think the management and leadership of just this whole like NIL space and transfer portal is ridiculous. I mean, I remember if you looked at the March Madness, for example, I think middle of March Madness tournament, there was like already maybe 2,000 plus guys in the portal. And like, let's say, I don't even know who was in, but let's just say like a Michigan State was playing. Mm-hmm. They just signed a guy to like transfer in who just committed. And then he's sitting on the sideline the next game. I think that happened to a couple teams. And it's just like,
what are we doing?
Yeah, like, what are we doing?
What are we doing? Fix the windows, too. It needs to be after the season. Like, for the Fiesta Bowl, the portal was open, like, the windows, and I'm just like...
Well, there was guys on Ohio State that were, like, dipping out. I'm like, dude, you don't want a natty?
I was going to say, yeah. You guys got the most stacked roster. What are we doing?
I get, like, making a move that, like, might be better for yourself, but, like...
At least see it through.
Yeah, the transfer portal is crazy now, because, like, I think the statistics of getting picked up are, like, extremely low.
Jeez.
Like, extremely low, because there's so many guys in the portal and not a lot of guys getting picked up. I forgot what the stats are. I'm sure you could look it up, but I just know it's, like, ridiculously low.
And is that when they're expected to start, you think? Because obviously you kind of have to weigh that. You know, if you're an athlete, one, you want to go – financial money talks, but you obviously want to go somewhere where you want to play, right?
Yeah.
So I feel for the kids that have to, they start at the higher, or I guess the bigger schools, and then they end up going to like a little bit of a smaller school, but then still have to fight for their job, but they're promised this money. But they're like, oh, I thought I was going to start. And this happens. Coach is like, no, yeah, you're going to start. We'll give you this. They end up getting there. I'm not going to name names or schools, but they end up getting there. And then the coach is like, no, you got to work for it. And it happens.
Well, I mean,
it's sad.
Dude, there's so many wild stories I've been hearing about, like, the transfer portal. And it's like, I know, like, a big thing that I've heard about and I've talked to Coach D about is guys will, like, all these agents around are pretty much just trying to profit off some of these guys, because they're just like, obviously, they're going to tell you to leave this place and you have so and so money over here if they're going to get it. Commission off of it. But even then, like, guys will be promised money at some schools and then they get to that that campus and they're like, we don't even have that money.
Yeah.
But like, even with my position coach, he was like, yeah, you know what, like, one of these guys that was supposedly getting offered this much from this school, I built that dude, like, he's like, I know that dude super well. Like, we're best friends. And he tells me, like, the complete opposite of whatever the player's been told.
Oh, dude.
So it's just so much, like, misinformation, like, I think a lot of guys taking advantage of athletes for sure.
For sure.
But even then, it's just like, it's just so wild.
It's ugly.
It's super ugly, and there needs to be like
a commissioner or something to be like, hey, we need to get all this. Like,
well, it's not like there aren't any models to follow. Like, look at the minor leagues of baseball. Like, just follow NFL's model. There's also the G League of, like, the NBA. Like, I don't understand why. I don't know. The whole thing just blows my mind. I could talk about the transfer portal for a long time just because, like,
an NIL.
Yeah, dude, it's just.
Because it's supposed to be name, image, likeness, right? Kind of like market yourself, your brand. But now schools and boosters are like, we'll give you a year's salary.
Yeah.
How does that sound? You want to come play for the Ducks? And they will. They'll be like, sure. Yeah. So it's just, and then it's just gotten worse. It's going to get worse. So there's this cool story that I kind of want to talk about. It involves, obviously, your pregame ritual. Bronco Nation, you guys need to hear this. Your mother prepares this drink called mate. It's a national beverage of Argentina, where your mother was born and raised.
Yep.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that, how it started? And I guess some of your teammates are kind of hooked on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, so definitely they're hooked on it because it's like a little bit of a caffeine buzz for sure. But traditionally, you have this gourd, you have mate, which is just like a tea. You're supposed to prepare it a certain way. And it's just drinking tea out of this gourd. But traditionally, it's just like you gather in people you consider family. You share this cup of mate. You don't talk about work. Like, you don't talk. You don't go on your phones. And you just kind of have, like, real conversations and really catching up with what's going on in people's lives, which I think is the coolest aspect of it. And just being able to unwind and relax and kind of just, like, mess around with the guys or just catch up with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's super popular in a lot of Latin countries. Argentina, like my whole family in Argentina right now.
This is what it is. Oh, and that's yerba mate. There we go. Okay.
Nice.
Liv, can you see? Okay. All right. So that is that the gold you were talking about?
Yeah, it's there's a lot of different ones that you can use, and there's a lot of different ways to, like, prepare it, but
looks kind of good.
Well,
no,
it's an acquired taste. It definitely tastes like dirt, but
Liv's like, no,
I've gotten used to it and it's like relaxed me for sure. But yeah, every time we do the night before every game, we have family night.
I was gonna say Obama's on it. No, that's yerba mate, but okay.
It's got to be edited.
AI, dude. Okay.
But, yeah, so, I mean, you look at, like, the Argentine, like, national soccer team, and they'll, like, be carrying it around everywhere before every game just because, like, it's a staple. Like, my mom drinks it 24/7 of every day.
Oh, Messi's on it, yeah. Neymar. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very, like, Latin thing.
Super cool. So you guys don't, you said you don't talk about work, right? So you don't talk about football. And this is how early, like, this is before every game, right?
Yeah. So the night before every game, we're in the hotel. We have like a couple hours of family time.
Cool.
So that's probably like when it is like the most amount of time usually I get with my family when they come in town for games.
Mm-hmm.
And so like being able to catch up with them and kind of just relax with the mate, it's just like warm. Kind of just like relax me and just talk about life.
Mm.
Yeah, every once in a while we'll get into what's going on in sports and football, but like not specifically what's the game plan for so and so.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the game? And
how's your ankle?
How's your body feeling? Like, I don't want to be talking about that. That's been my whole week.
Yeah.
Has been that. And so it's nice to, like, do that. Sometimes I'll do it, like, the day of the game. But if we have, like, a really late game. But, yeah, we did have a good group last year doing it. I got to recruit some more guys to get on the mate. So.
Let's go.
Yeah.
How many people are on it right now? Who's hooked?
I know Ahmed loves it. That's definitely been, like, me and his thing, like, because we're roommates.
Okay.
Me, him, and Mason Randolph. Mason's into it every once in a while. I'll get Lauder on it too.
Okay.
He likes it. Mike Callahan was big on it too when we had the family nights. So it's just been like really nice on the family nights. There's always like a group of like 10 or 15 of us in a circle.
Cool.
And we're just like catching up with each other and like passing around this gourd of tea. But yeah, that's pretty much the pregame ritual. I think it helps me a lot just to like get away from everything and not focus in too much on the game like I've done all week.
Right.
It gives me a chance to relax the night before a game and like really spend quality time with like people I care about.
Good reset for the brain, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's go. And it sounds like the parents are pretty consistent making the games. Have they missed any?
They've missed like maybe a couple.
Okay. Still, that's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm not complaining at all. They're troopers when it comes to like season. They'll like go to every game.
And, home or away.
Yeah, home or away. And I know my dad will take off, not even take off time for work, but like find a way to make it work. So it's like really special. It's a blessing. I know it's not like my football career isn't going to last forever. So like being able to share those moments with them and then obviously with the family that comes in town from across the country is just super awesome to be able to share that and like bring family together that doesn't really see each other too much.
Gotcha. So when you're not talking about football, you're talking about like how the Dodgers are always beating the Padres. It's like, hey, like, you know, because you're from San Diego, right? And so you a Padres fan? Is what it sounds like? Yeah.
Yeah.
You are, yeah. So riddle me this. Last year's playoff, right? Divisional round. What a series, right? Dodgers beat the Padres. Teoscar Hernandez hits a home run. But I will say
that we fumbled. Is that what you want to hear? Like we fumbled that series?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that.
I would definitely say that.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, were you up 2-0 in the series or what? I think we were.
I think so.
Yeah.
Or 1-1 at least. No, you're up, I think, 2-1 at least.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking really good, but thanks, Sean. Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, that's, see.
Yeah, so we're looking pretty good right now, aren't
we? We're looking at the current league standings. I will say, I think I'm all jokes aside, I am a little nervous this year about you guys. I'm a Dodgers fan. So.
I'm a little surprised because I know we lost guys that I actually knew about on the team.
Profar's gone.
Yeah, Profar.
He got busted for PEDs.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because he was insanely good.
Yeah, for us last year. Keep taking those PEDs, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there are guys on the team that I know, but I was kind of expecting it to be down here because we brought in a bunch of guys I don't know. And I know for sure, like, you guys just pay off every single person in the league. So, I mean, look at you and the Yankees, the highest salary.
Sean, can you search highest payroll in baseball?
Yep.
Let's see. I'm curious. I think it might be the Dodgers.
I think
it was Dodgers and Yankees, the two highest, and they're in the finals last year.
Yeah, caps lock. There you go. I need to make sure who it is.
DL.
Just the Mets.
The Mets this year.
Oh, with after
with
second
Juan Soto.
Highest is
and then Dodge. The Dodgers.
Dodgers are only 2 mil behind, though.
Look. Ooh.
I mean,
and that's this year. Last year, I'm sure it wasn't the Mets.
Yeah,
this
see,
is
the,
Juan Soto's
if
contract.
It wasn't for a freaking Ohtani deferring $1 billion, I think we would be first. I mean, what a guy, right? Shohei.
Yeah, he deferred $68 million his first
every year.
He was concerned going to San Diego. I remember that, but I don't know.
He made the right decision, I'd say.
Yeah, you want to stay in LA over San Diego? Please.
Honestly, no. I think I'd rather live in San Diego.
Yeah.
But if I want, I mean, but he wants to win.
Is that not like the life, though? You just go and throw some baseballs around in San Diego and
during the summer
just call
too.
It a day.
Yeah, but like after 3 years, I'm like, I'd be like, I'm tired of losing to the Dodgers. I think I would, you know, it's like, I think I'd want to like, okay, I want a championship.
Didn't we like end your guys' big run a couple years ago or?
Yeah, it was, I think, 2022. I was a little sad about that. Yeah, that was...
Yeah, that felt good.
I'm
well,
sure.
There's
guys...
a funny story there, actually.
Okay.
So, for the longest time, I pretended to be a Dodgers fan because my brother was a diehard Padres fan. And so, just to, like, get under his skin. I just pretended to be a Dodgers fan for a while. And then I wanted to wait until the Padres won like a World Series or something. And then I would just post all over my Instagram, like, let's go Pods, like day one. And he would freak. Yeah. But it was after the series we beat the Dodgers.
Whoa.
In the playoffs. And then I started posting all that stuff. And then he just like dug into me. And he's like, you're so weird, dude. You're like
so
that kind of stuff.
Was that like a bit the entire time? Were you like a closeted Padres fan?
I was a closeted Padres fan. It was just like, just a dig at my brother.
Okay.
Me and my brother are like super close and super competitive.
Yeah.
And so like anything to get like my edge on him, I'll do.
Just push the buttons.
Oh, dude, it was hilarious.
But then you're like, okay, let's ride.
Yeah. No, now we're cool.
Okay. Like,
we're Padres guys for sure. Also, she claims to be a Dodgers fan, but she's been to a Padres game with me wearing Padres gear. And this summer, she got me Padres tickets for my birthday. So
that just sounds like a good girlfriend.
Yeah. Or she's a traitor to the Dodgers. I'm working her too. I'm trying to get her, bring her to the light side. You guys are dark side for sure.
Yeah, not a lot of people like us.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. But
I will say, once you guys won last year, I couldn't give much crap to the I rode the Mickey Mouse ring for the last 4 years.
Yeah, the COVID ring just didn't do it. Yeah. I know. And Kershaw needed like a ring, like a second ring as well. But you know what? We were just like, hey, Ohtani, come on down. You're in Anaheim. Just take the highway. Come on.
He's a freak.
He's pretty good at his job.
Yeah.
I will say that. He is really good. Once he starts pitching too.
Yeah, because he's been out with the elbow.
Terrible injury. Tommy John?
Yeah, the Tommy John.
The UCL. That's like a year and a half minimum.
Still cranking out runs.
Yeah, a little bit. Still. He just had a kid, by the way. Shohei, I know you're watching. Shout out to you, man. Congrats on the newborn. But yeah, dude. That's maybe one day. Padres will win a World Series. You guys are like, you got a good roster. Diamondbacks are sneaky good, I will say. I'm a little nervous about them. I think they're.
I haven't been paying attention really too much to the teams that have been really good, just the Pods.
That's fair. It's also early.
Yeah.
With regular season baseball, it's like.
It's all about who's hot. Like when.
Let me know when it's September.
When it needs to be hot, yeah, you know?
Absolutely. I'll kind of follow it a little bit, but you basketball guy? You like hoops? I know you're a basketball player is what you said. No? Okay, we'll skip past that.
I guess my beef with basketball is like such an individual sport to me. A lot of the clubs I played for growing up was just like a lot of guys just like in it for themselves.
Yeah, everyone's like, I want to get mine.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty much.
Even in pickup too. It's tough. You know, sometimes you'll walk in, like, I'm open. They'll be like, no. Nah. It's like, come on, I've got a good jump shot.
You got to get your own.
And then
there.
They go, okay, Jack Harlow, whatever, dude. I'm just like, all right.
Jack Harlow's good.
Yeah, I know. I get called white man can't jump, dude, all the time. It's
kind
ridiculous.
Kind of upset that I didn't, like, think of that.
What?
The Jack Harlow one. I was trying to figure out who you looked like.
Yep, I get that. I get Mr. Tumnus from Narnia. I get,
oh, nice.
Yeah, that goat. Paul Mescal from Gladiator 2 a little bit.
Yeah, I see that. That's a better one.
Young Justin Timberlake, I've heard. So with the name Ryan Seacrest, I always get called Ryan Seacrest as well. My math teacher would always be like, Seacrest, slope-intercept formula. What is it? I'm like, Y equals MX plus B.
You poor thing. You're getting compared to Jack
just
Harlow.
Just had to flex that
Paul
one.
Mescal. Yeah.
I'm like,
Ryan
I'm paying
Seacrest.
Sine, cosine, tangent, whatever you need. I'm here. Okay.
Carry on.
Eric Chenander. I want to talk a little bit about that. So we brought him on, and this last year the defense was stellar. Number one in sacks in the country, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So I know you partaked in that a little bit, right? How much did you have?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit? 3.5?
I don't even know, man.
Okay.
Not enough.
That was a guess. But you contributed.
Might be pretty close.
Yeah. And so I guess working with him, what's that been like? You guys are firing all cylinders. You know, is it an energy thing, schematics? Is he drawing some stuff up that it just worked better than stuff in the past? Like, what kind of, what does that look like?
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard from him in probably multiple interviews, specifically with the sacks and the pressure we get on quarterbacks. Like, what's the secret sauce and, like, what are you drawing up? He'll always say that it's us, like, the way we play, stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah, that was my Halloween costume. But anyways.
You're committed. I like it.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. Sorry, Chenander interviews, secret sauce.
Oh, yeah. He'll always say it's us. I know he's just done, like, an insane job, like, scheming things up for sure and, like, coaching guys up in the fundamentals of getting pressure on the quarterback. I can't even remember the stats, but I think, like, all the sacks throughout the year came from, like, 14 different players on the team, which is, like, pretty insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, working with him has been great. His, like, his ball knowledge is pretty ridiculous, too. Like, he's been all around the NFL and collegiate. So he's played a big part in my development, like, understanding defenses and, like, how we're going to get attacked.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also, like, great to be around. He's just, like, one of the guys, in my opinion. A lot of the coaches are pretty much, like, one of the guys to me, but him especially. So he's just been, like, great to work with.
Yeah, and he speaks very highly of the players. He's, like, for the guys, it seems like. He's not like, oh, I'm in it for the check, you know, oh, I took the job for higher salary. I ran into him at End Zone, and he was just super cool to talk
That's
to.
That's dangerous.
It was alumni night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's even more dangerous.
And he was just praising all you guys. He's like, I just do it for the kids. I just do it because I love these guys. I love to see them develop. I love to see them chase their goals. And so I thought that was pretty cool of him to say.
Yeah, he's I think all the coaches, like, feel that way, which is great. You don't really get that in a lot of places. So it's mm-hmm. definitely a blessing to kind of, like, be around that support and, like, that mentorship.
And I got to ask this too. Have to. What was it like trying to tackle Ashton Jeanty in practice?
I had a running joke, like, throughout the season last year. Not a lot of people, like, picked up on it or, like, thought it was that funny, but I did. So I stuck with it.
I'll laugh.
You ever see the movie Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell starring in it, the basketball movie? You haven't? Oh, you're missing out.
I'm going to get cooked for that.
Well, yeah. Like, anytime Ashton just did some, like, freak thing and, like, just carrying the team or something like that, I would just, like, yell out, like, we don't stop him in practice. And I thought it was just, like, the funniest thing because it's, like, referencing that film. But
no one was picking up on it.
Yeah, it's all right.
Like, I think it's
I got
funny.
A good kick out of it.
I think it's funny. That's good. Yeah, I've never seen the movie, but if I would have seen the movie, I think that's good.
Yeah. But other than that, like, yeah, tackling was really hard. But tackling him was really hard because he can just do everything, and you never really know if he's just gonna, like, make you miss or just run you over.
Jump over you.
Yeah, most of the time, like, you play certain backs and they have, like, one thing that they're really, really good at and, like, their style, but, like, him is just, like, kind of all around. So, like, I'm sure game planning him, which we, like, in scrimmages, like, mm-hmm. leading up to season and fall camp or spring ball, like, you'll definitely, like, game plan the other side of the ball a little bit, but yeah, I think he made myself and a lot of other guys on the defense just a hell of a lot better at tackling, and I don't even know what else.
Say the bar is pretty high too. When you play the next game, you're like, all right, this next running back can't be as good, yeah. right? We yeah. got the best running back in the country.
No, he definitely, like, gave you some sort of, like, comfortability going in the games because you're like, oh, well, if all things go sideways, yeah. like, just give the ball to two.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was kind of curious there. Yeah, I've heard it. Few different stories, and so
yeah, he's I could talk really highly about Ashton just because, like, the way he carried himself and the leader he was. Mm-hmm. I feel like nowadays it's hard for guys, like, in with the success that he had, to be, like, all for the team and, like, not really a prick to everybody else.
Yeah, he could have went anywhere too. He didn't even have to stay.
Yeah, so yeah, he definitely made me a hell of a lot better as a player and a leader, just, like, looking up to him for sure.
Mm-hmm. One last question, too, before we wrap up. Fiesta Bowl. What was it like going against that Penn State offense? Double question here. And is Tyler Warren as good as advertised? going up against him?
Going against Penn State and playing on that kind of stage was just like sort of a dream come true. The conversations I had like with my family and like my friends leading up to that game were just like kind of just surreal, and like kind of sharing that moment with them was really cool. Playing Penn State, and we always talk about here like iron sharpens iron and we're the best looks like we're going to see all year. I think that held true. I don't think we played our best game. I thought we were the better team. I still think we're the better team at that time. Obviously, that's not how it went. We made a lot of mistakes, and they capitalized on that. Yeah, they were a hell of a team. I thought we were better, and I think we were better. They played a better game. When it comes to Tyler Warren, watching all the film on him, and I wouldn't say like I got too many reps against him, just in terms of blocking. Like I knew I like collisioned him a couple times in that game, but I don't know how, but like just finds a way to get open. Like on film, I'll just like be watching film. I was like, how's this guy open again? Wow. It's like you would think, I mean, I was like, I mean, you'd think that they'd have some sort of spy or like double coverage or something on him. And I don't know. He just found a way to get open. It was really weird. And I feel like I've seen that in probably like Travis Kelce. I think he's as good as they say. Okay. He's a top guy, probably. Prospect in the draft for a reason. But yeah, I think he made a lot of guys all season just look really stupid. A lot of the tight ends have been like transferring pretty well or transitioning pretty well into the NFL recently.
It seemed like they were always kind of a developmental position for them to start producing, at least I guess on offense. But I mean, yeah, as of late, they've just been like Sam Laporta, Brock Bowers, like, took him no time.
Even, God, who's the guy from CSU? I can't remember. McBride.
Trey McBride, yes. He took him maybe half a year. Him and Kyler Murray started clicking, but, I mean, now look, you got Tyler Warren and Colson Loveland, two tight ends that could go top 15. It's crazy. Yeah.
Tyler Warren's, like, never heard of his name until, like, this year, which is, like, weird to me.
I agree.
But yeah. I'm sure like he's been doing well before that, but
yeah,
I don't know. He just killed it this year that I know of.
Balled out.
Yeah.
Marco, the human, what do you like to do in your free time other than watch the Padres lose?
Sean?
Do you like to
Sean, do you want to bring up the standings again? Anything outdoors is pretty much like right up my alley.
Nice.
I've always wanted to go hunting, but just like I feel like that's something I need a lot of guidance on. That's never been something I grew up with.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to go with like some more seasoned guys on the team. I've talked to guys about doing it already. I've talked to Roger a couple of times about getting me out there. Mad Dog too, Terry as well. But that's something I want to get into. Love to golf, even though I'm not so great at it. Pickleball, God.
God.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Got a pool table at the house that we turned into a poker table. So poker's nice. A lot of fun too. Love movies.
What's your average golf score? Because I know some people are like, oh, I'm not that good, but they'll be like high 70s. So it's like, what are you shooting?
Yeah, the thing is I'm like not good enough to like consistently like check it off. Because I'll just hit a point where I'm just like, all right, like screw this. Like,
oh, like mid-round?
I'm not keeping score anymore. I get like too frustrated.
That's fair. It's
so like I
tough sport.
I judge humbling. Like my day based off of like how many balls I lose.
What's a
I
good
think on average? Like I'll lose like probably like 7 to 9 balls.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
but I've been cleaning it up a little bit, and I just had a really good day.
Three
last Saturday or three? Two Saturdays ago, and I only lost 2 balls. Yeah, so.
Which course?
Big jump, Warm Springs. So it's not.
Okay.
It's not expert level.
Definitely easy to lose balls though.
Yeah, because you got the river, you got a couple ponds. So it's kind of like, hey Marco, what'd you shoot? Just put me down for a smiley face. That was a good hole, right? Didn't lose a ball. Is that kind
of
like?
I'll pretty much just be playing off of like how many balls I've lost and like, oh dude, that was a sick shot, and that'll carry me for like. a couple rounds and then I'll just completely shank it. And then you lost me. But as soon as I get like another like really good shot, I'm like, all right, a minute, let's go.
That's what brings you back.
Yeah. But I mean, it does like keep me around the guys. So like,
yeah,
it's just like nice to get out.
Absolutely.
And, like, do something, pick up on something like a sport that's not football and I'm tweaked out about.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned about basketball, you kind of had some beef with it because it's like a solo sport. Golf is pure solo. So is that like your, say your kryptonite, like just a solo sport? Are you in your head a lot? But you're a pickleball god, so I guess you have.
But like you can play in teams. You have a pickle. Teammate.
That is true.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I guess maybe it is my kryptonite. I just don't like doing, or maybe I just need to rely on people to make me better. I don't know what it is.
Could be.
Yeah.
Just a team sport guy.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, it's been an hour. It's crazy. Oh, wow. Huh? Yeah. Time I think flies. A little over an hour, yeah.
It's a lot of content, Sean.
Yeah, 1 hour, 10 minutes to be exact.
Would you look at that?
Have fun with that one.
Yeah. Liv, your girlfriend's here the whole time, being Let's a trooper. Go. One last thing for the camera. This will be your camera right here. What is one final message I guess you got for Bronco Nation this upcoming season?
I would just say, like, coming up on, like, my last couple years here, I would definitely just say, like, thank you to the university and the staff and the teammates I've had over the years to give me just, like, more than enough second chances to grow and develop and make an impact on this team. A lot of things definitely out of my control and my control that kind of just set me back a bit, but... yeah, I couldn't be more grateful for this place. I love the people here. I love the community. And go Broncos, baby.
That's a wrap, everyone. Episode 159. Thank you again, Sean, for all you do. Thanks, Marco, for making it on, man. And we'll catch you next time.
Also, I have one last thing.
What you got?
For anyone listening, if you can comment how many times Ryan Secret has said the phrase, and so, and get it correctly, We'll give you a little shout out on the story.
Was I saying it a bunch?
That's your like your catchphrase. I've noticed. Yeah, me and Roberto were talking about it because.
Oh no!
Have you seen How
I'll
Much Your Mother?
Work on that. No, I haven't.
Okay, well, there's.
Yeah, just make you nervous.
Guys, Marco's here,
and so
there's a scene or there's an episode where one of the girls she's like a news reporter and her phrase is always but and like she like will say the next question. And it's always like, but. And they did a drinking game, all the friends did, where every time she said but on the broadcast, they'd take a drink. She found out about it, got pissed, and then said it a million times. It made me think of that scene because your thing is, and so.
Okay.
So next
time. You motivated me. Yeah. You motivated me. That's my...
It's just like a filler thing people have.
Okay.
It's funny.
Got to work on the fillers. And so that's going to do it for episode 159 here. Thank you guys. And we'll see you for 160. Peace.